Broadcasting live from the Business Radio X studios in Buckhead, Atlanta, it's time for Simply Buckhead Radio with your host, publisher, and founder, Joanne Hayes.
Well, good afternoon to everybody on December 23rd as we are doing our eighth radio show, Simply Buckhead Radio. And we invite you all to listen for the next hour to our very interesting guests. And I'm sure everybody's anxious to get the holidays underway and probably over with, too. And we're pretty excited. My shopping is definitely not done. I won't be doing any cyber ordering. I will be buying from my local Buckhead businesses. So great to see you, Rich, and looking forward to the holidays. Are you headed anywhere fun?
Right after this, start my shopping. Yeah, speaking of that, there's plenty of opportunities here in Buckhead for pretty much everything you need to put under the tree or under the menorah. Is that they don't put anything under the menorah, do they?
No, not under the menorah, right. But the children run around and light the candles together with the family.
Oh, nice.
And get their present. And so every day
and
they
I know
come
there's
home
food.
School,
I know there's good food involved.
Lots of good food.
Absolutely.
Lots of good food. So
we got a great show this morning. Welcome to the studio just in time for the holidays. But before we jump into that, you have what's new on the horizon for Simply Buckhead, or just maybe a little teaser. What's your elevator pitch when most people in Buckhead, you know, unless you just moved here or landed here, speaking of landed, you're at the airport as well, right?
Yes, absolutely. We are at the Hartsfield-Jackson International Terminal. We're also in several of the private hangars at PDK. We're doing 24,000 copies in 250 locations in Buckhead and Brookhaven, and seems like everywhere I go now, if I get out and hand somebody my card or mention what we do, they say, I love that magazine, yeah. And that's all we ever dream for.
Absolutely, and I don't know if I've really asked you on the air before, but so when people have not heard it, they're new in town, and they see your name or a name tag or your business card, what's your answer to what is Simply Buckhead?
Well, we just explained that we're an upscale lifestyle publication devoted to the people who live, work, shop, dine, okay. Entertain, have kids, families, pets, travel, and they're all in Buckhead, Brookhaven, but they're also looking to maybe live here, move here.
Right.
We have a lot of readers from out of state because of our online presence as well, and actually out of the country.
Yeah, you mentioned that the other a couple weeks back. How many views are around the world? Or,
123 countries,
that's
all
crazy.
50 states, and 203 cities and towns in Georgia to date.
So Joanne Hayes is single-handedly responsible for putting Buckhead literally on the map. Right?
Literally.
Around the
literally.
World.
When you type in Buckhead Atlanta or Buckhead Atlanta magazines or Buckhead Atlanta lifestyle magazines, we come up 7 out of the top 10 now.
And then finally, what's on the horizon for 2015? Do you already have that?
Yes.
It's already at the printers? Or?
Well, yes, we're already at the printer, but we will be releasing it next week right after the new year.
Okay.
And it's our Kids and Pets issue with an adorable cover and a great cover story. And one of our guests who is at the table will be
so we're
seen in that particular
a little sneak
issue.
Peek here, huh?
Yep, little sneak peek. And then the issue after that is already way into development. And it's our music industry issue. And there are some major, major exciting things coming with that issue.
Nice. Well, that's all good stuff. At this point, let's go ahead and introduce our guests. And I'll turn it over to you. And I might be taking some photos here for social media and goofing off in the background, but it's your show, Joanne.
Yeah, so if people are shouting out to all you folks while we're on air, you'll know why. my first guest today is Mark Shaver, who is the owner of Buckhead Paws. He does daily dog walks and pet services throughout Buckhead, Brookhaven, and North Atlanta. And I'm not going to say terribly much about him because I cannot wait to talk about what he's done to get him to this point. Welcome, Mark. Great to have you today.
Thanks, Joanne. I'm really happy to be here. It's good to see you.
Well, we're very excited. We collaborate with the Buckhead Business Association, and we'll be talking about that a little bit in your interview as well.
You bet.
And our second guest is Sharon Fisher from Sharon Fisher Events, and we're thrilled to have Sharon. We are actually collaborating together on our annual charity event, which is going to be held on January 29th.
Yes.
So welcome, Sharon. We can talk
Thank
a little
you.
Bit about that as well as what you do in general.
Great.
And my third guest today is someone that we really respect and admire and have worked with very closely for the 4 years that we've been publishing the magazine, and we're very honored to have him on today, Steve DeFilippo from Davio's Northern Italian Steakhouse. And I'm not saying your last name correctly, am I?
DeFilippo. You know, it was pretty close, Joanne. It's okay. I'm all right with that.
I hear so many different versions of his name. I have to ask everyone, and everyone has a different answer. So all of his staff say something different. But we've been really blessed to have a wonderful relationship with Davio's. We do a lot of our business entertaining there. We entertain clients, family. My husband has thrown me a birthday party in his restaurant, and everything they do is with such incredible service, and we know it starts from the top down. And Steve, I know your history in the restaurant business started from a very young age, and I know you didn't mention this, but we'd love for you to tell the listeners about your love of food, even from being a child. And I only know about this because of being at your book signing. Right. So.
Well, I wrote a book. It's called It's All About the Guest. And in the book, I kind of take you through how I became a nut about food. I mean, all I do is think about food all day long. And so to be in the restaurant business is just perfect for me because it's my thing, you know. And I was very fortunate to have a Portuguese mom and an Italian grandmother kind of took me under their wing. But the third person that was very influential was Julia Child. And, you know, back in the day, I used to watch her like crazy on TV. And, you know, later on in life, I was very fortunate to become friends with Julia. And I tell a funny story in the book about...
I want to hear this story. I think our listeners will laugh.
Please. Well, okay, this is many years later. I actually had, you know, a few Davio's at the time. And this is probably, you know, she was about early 80s at the time. So... someone I know called me and said, you know, Julia's getting an award down in Providence, down at the Biltmore. And they said, would you mind going over to her house, picking her up and bringing her down to Providence? I was like, yeah, okay. Because you know, I had met her a bunch of times, but anytime you saw Julia in public, it was very difficult to get her attention and spend time with her because she was just a magnet. You know, first of all, she's like 9 feet tall and big, you know, and you just couldn't really get a conversation going with her. So I was so excited to get her in my car. You know, so I went over to her house, you know, beautiful house in Harvard Square, and I go in the house and knock on the door, and I go, hi, Julia, I'm here. And she goes, oh, I'll be right down, you know. So there I am in her kitchen. I'm saying, okay, I got to steal something.
Were you looking around at the tools?
No, I'm saying, I'm in Julia Child's kitchen by myself. I'm like, I'm taking something, right? And I'm saying, no, you're going to get busted. You know, what happens if, you know. So I had this, like, guilt thing, and, you know, I didn't take anything, and I'm... To this day, I said, that was a mistake. I should have taken some. Anyway, so she comes...
She would have given it to you
Yeah, I guess. So she comes down the stairs. She's all dollied up, you know, and we get in the car, and we drive. You know, we go through Harvard Square, and I'm all excited. I got all my questions, and, you know, mile a minute, asking her all these things. This is like, you know, the Matt Ryan, you know, today. You know, people in Atlanta think of Matt Ryan, or, you know, the greatest player, Tom Brady for me in Boston, you know.
Me too.
Tom Brady, yeah. You know, so... After a couple of minutes, I asked her, you know, a bunch of questions, and I look over at her, and she doesn't really answer one of the questions, and she's, and she falls asleep. So I always tell people, Julia Child slept with me, you know. So we drive all the way to Providence. She sleeps the whole way. We get out of the car. If I have to wake her up, she puts the red lipstick on, you know, and we go into the restaurant. And I tell you, she knew who she was. She knew she was Julia Child, and she was fantastic at it. She loved being Julia Child. She walked right into the kitchen, walked right in, wanted to talk to the dishwashers, the prep people. She talked to everybody before she went to see Mayor CNC and did the whole, you know, political thing. And then she ended up sitting down. You know, I learned so much from her that night. How you know, it's not about giving money all the time. It's about giving yourself, you know, and just to talk to Julia for 30 seconds was a big deal to a lot of people. So we sat down, we had dinner, great time. We get back in the car, and I'm saying, well, at least I'll ask questions on the way back. She was asleep before we made it to the highway. And you know, it's like a half, it's like,
yeah,
you know,
it's like a half
200
a minute,
yards, right?
Yeah.
So we finally get back to her house, and we get out of the car, and I happen to have a book in my car. She signs the book to me, which is, you know, to Steve, Julia Child. I thought she'd write something like, what a great date we had, you know. Just, you know, she just wrote, bon appetit, you know, Julia Child. And then we went in the house. She gave me a big hug. And then after that, she used to come in a lot more, and we got to be really good friends. You know, we'll never have another Julia Child. I mean, it was fantastic.
No, and that's special that you had that time with her. Yeah. And I know that story is funny, but I know it means a lot. She's one of your mentors, and I'm sure there are other mentors. I know you mentioned some of them in your
mentors
book.
Mentors, I think of them. You look at anyone who's successful in life, and they have to have mentors. You just don't wake up, you know, I'm sure Bill Gates had mentors. I mean, he had to. I mean, I got to thank, you know, Richard Branson, all those billionaires and do really well in business, entrepreneurs. You have to have, and you know, you don't stop having mentors.
Mm-mm,
you know, I still
never.
Have, you know, I'm very fortunate to be where I am today, and I still have people that I call. Like when I have to do a big meeting, there's a few guys in Boston, and I literally call and talk to them about what I have to do and who I'm going to meet, and they give me a lot of advice, you know, and I have people who call me, you know, obviously, and so it's a great feeling to be on both sides of it.
I've asked your advice advice on a few things. Well,
your questions are tough, though. I can't help you. You're a little over me.
Well, I'm going to preface this by saying that we share the commonality of being from New England. I'm a Rhode Islander. Steve is from Boston and also had family in Rhode Island. So we share that love for the New England Patriots. Sorry, Maddie, we love you too. But Tom Brady's our guy. Oh. He was very upset about his loss a few weeks ago. So, yeah.
Well, actually, we're very fortunate that he comes into Buckhead quite a bit.
You know, yes.
He lives here in Buckhead, so he's been a great guest of ours and his wife. And we're very fortunate to have him here.
Yeah, well,
he's a BC guy, too. You know,
yes.
Even though he's a Philly guy.
I know. Well, we can appreciate that for sure. And let's get back to where you actually started in the industry. So I know you have this great love of food, and I've heard several really fun stories about the pan that meant so much when you were a kid. And
Well, the pan story, you know, when I would go to my grandmother's house, Nana, down in Providence, you know, she lived in the typical three-decker house, you know, where they had the wrinkly stairs going up. And every time we would go to the house, she'd always have something on the stove in this black iron pan. It would be maybe a meatball or a little sausage, a little brisol, you know, brisol, some type of meat thing for some reason, sitting on the pan. So I remember walking up those stairs to get, and I couldn't wait to get in that door because I was going to go right for that pan and sneak something, you know. So she finally passes away in her 90s, and my father ends up selling the house. So he calls me and my relatives and, you know, my brother and sister and says, you know, come down to the house, because we lived in Boston area, and take whatever you want from the house, right? So, because we sold the house, you know. So we go down to the house, and everyone I know is taking out chairs, taking out TVs, couches, you know, all this stuff, you know. But I only had one thing in my mind going up those stairs. And it was the first time that I actually went in the house. There was nothing in the pan because she had died like 6 months before. And I grab that pan and I walk out and I go down the stairs and I go out to the front of the house. And my father looks at me and he goes, "What are you doing? What are you doing?" And I go, "Steve, Dad, this is all I wanted." And he looks at me, you know, and he was like, "What?" You know, and he starts crying, you know. So I start crying, you know, so I'm starting crying just thinking of the story. I've told the story 100 times, but
I'm
it's so emotional.
I'm assuming you have that pan still at home.
So he, I better explain it to him. So I go, "Dad, this is how it all started. This was Nana. This is, she taught me how to cook. This, I wouldn't be, at the time, I think I had 3 restaurants, you know, I was mid-30s, you know, and, you know, I was pretty successful, I was very fortunate, I was very lucky, and it all started because of that pan. She taught my mom how to cook, and my mom then taught me, and then, you know, so it was like this circle thing. And I got in the car and I drove home, and you know, I have that pan. I sits on top of my stove, and I cook with it still. And this is, you know, 20 years ago. I still cook with that pan. And I always say to my brother and sister, "So you still got those chairs? How's that? how's that TV working out for you?
Have your kids broken the chairs yet?
Not one person has anything from. I'm telling you, know, I have that pan.
So. Sentimental. Yeah. I feel the same way. Yeah. I have several of my grandmother's lamps, and everyone else, again, furniture, jewelry, everything, this and that. And there's these like two little really beautiful lamps that I had to have. So I understand the sentimentality of some of the things that we treasure and bring with us for the rest of our lives, too.
And, you know, people who come over to my house always say, "Steve, where's the pan? I want to see that pan is like so famous." You know, it's really kind of funny.
Well, you'll have to bring it to the restaurant in Boston when I come into town next. I know I'll be there for Passover in April. Yeah. So,
you know, everyone knows it's not that big. People are surprised. They have this vision of some big, huge 16-inch pan. It's actually a little pan, but
that's okay. Yeah. It's just as important. Right. Size does not matter.
Should put it in the book.
Oh,
yes. The
boy.
You know, I thought about that.
Well, the industry start, the love of food when you were young and growing up into your teens, where did you start in the restaurant business as a teenager?
Well,
your first job.
My first job was actually in Boston University. I was I worked in a place called Frankenstein's, and then it became another place called Plate Against Sims. And I was a bartender, kind of like a beer place. You know, I just kind of poured beer and pretzels. It was kind of a stupid job. But it was
First jobs are fun.
Yeah, but what was really interesting about this job was, this was back before the drinking laws were kind of going crazy, and it was all you could drink. I used to work Thursday nights, and between 7:30 and 9, it was all you can drink for women. And it was me and this other, and the guys weren't allowed to come in until 9 o'clock. There was like an hour and a half of girls just getting wasted. So me and this other bartender, you know, I'm 19 years old, and me and one other guy in this room for an hour and a half with all these women getting drunk, you know. So it was a really great time for me, you know, in those days. I learned a lot about things, and but it really wasn't for me. It wasn't something that, you know, I saw myself as a food person. So I left that, and I went into another restaurant called Seaside in Faneuil Hall, and I started there as a bus person and then worked my way up. And over by 5 years, I was the head chef when I left that place. But I also was the front of the house, too. I was a server, I was a bartender. I always thought it was important for me to have my own restaurant. I wanted to do everything. I didn't want to just be the chef, and I didn't want to just be the front of the house guy. And then after I graduated from Boston University, I went to a chef school. So the original Davio's in 1985 is when I started. I was 24 years old. I was the chef, general manager. I did everything. I had 15 people in the company at the time. And I still have five of those 15, 30 years later.
Wow.
And now the company is over 800 people. Obviously, we have 7 restaurants and the food company and all this stuff. But I think back at those days, and a lot of, you know, I talk about it in the book, and I really grew up a lot and learned a lot, and I was very fortunate to have the right people with me.
Yes, and I love that whole concept of knowing every single piece of your business. Yeah. You have to almost be a jack of all trades, and you know, as a publisher, that's almost a very interesting feat, because I came from the advertising world, but yet I totally understand editorial and having a great photographer and working with a printer and a distributor, and you have to know everything to be a great business person.
Well, I talk about it in the book. It's a chapter called It's Not All About the Chef. I mean, how many times you go to a restaurant and the food's great and everything, but you're not getting value. You just have a, you know, lousy time. The service is not, it just doesn't seem like the place. You know, you walk in, the hostesses are not, they don't look you in the eye. They're not paying attention. You go over to the bartender and he's trying to pick up the server, and then you look over and you see the chef out back smoking by the dumpster. You know, you're saying, who's running this place? You know,
oh my God.
You know, I mean, it's just a disaster, you know. So to me, I think you really have to be kind of part of the whole thing. And a lot of chefs own restaurants. You know, look, I'm a chef. I love chefs, and my best friends are chefs, but they're not the best businessmen, and they're the first to admit it, you know. So they really need to have good front of the house guys, you know, partner with. And the front of the house guys, they don't know how the kitchen works either, so they need both, you know. And I've been very fortunate that, you know, I had a father who ran a huge company. I learned a lot from my dad, and then I went to chef school and I had great cooking. So I'm kind of a hybrid, you know, and I'm very, very fortunate. But it's about our people.
Yes.
I am so lucky. Like here in Atlanta, you know, we have Claude, who is the general manager. You know, he's the French guy running the Italian steakhouse, which is kind of ironic, but it works well.
But, you know, and again, it's a concept that works across the board in many different businesses. I was just telling somebody at lunch at Davio's that, you know, I love what we do, and the fact that I'm the publisher doesn't mean I have to be the front person all the time. They make me look great because we have such a great team. And the philosophy that you have about your guests, and your guests are not just the people sitting in your table.
Right, well, we have two guests, Joanne. Inside. We have two guests. We have the guests that come through the front door, which would be you, and then we have our inner guests, who was our team members, who come through the back door. So I always thought, hey, if I took care of the guests who came through the front door and the inner guests who come through the back door, I think I'm going to be doing all right. That's 100% of the equation, right? So we really make sure, like, I was one of the first restaurants in Boston 30 years ago to have health insurance. I didn't wait for a governor or a president to tell me I have health insurance for our people. You know, we paid half of the plans, you know, dental, we have health, life insurance, you know, we have vacations. I have guys that have 6 weeks vacations in our company.
Wow.
Which
I'd
is unheard
that.
Of. Yeah. Well, because they've been with me for 30 years. So every 5 years, you get another week. So a lot of guys, next May, they're going to get another week. Because they've been with us from the beginning.
Wow, that's awesome. I love your philosophy. I read this book, and it was fun. I felt like reading It's All About the Guests was like I was sitting at a table having a conversation with you over a glass of wine and laughing.
That's how I wrote it. I wrote a lot of wine.
You know, going over some of the pitfalls. This is definitely a book that I would recommend. And you know, if you're looking for a last-minute holiday gift idea, this is a great book. And you can actually purchase this book at Davio's in Buckhead, Atlanta, in Phipps Plaza. And
but it's also on Amazon. I mean, it's in bookstores.
Yep.
I mean, it's all...
But locally,
You want to buy it right here in Buckhead, obviously, because that's why we're all about here in Buckhead.
For sure. What keeps you motivated every day?
800 people keeps you motivated, and a lot of kids. Like we have parties with each restaurant, and I see that I'm responsible for a lot of children out there, and it just scares me to death. You know. So I mean, I have my own 4 kids that I'm responsible for. But when you have a business, you're responsible for a lot of people, and that's what keeps me up at night. Is I want to make sure that we keep growing. I keep making sure we, you know, our bills are paid. We keep, you know, taking care of our product, take care of our guests, and then everything takes care of itself. You know, so that's the thing. You gotta think of not yourself. And I think a lot of people in business today don't. I think they think of themselves. And I think if I don't worry about myself. I don't worry about money. I worry about everybody else, and then it just takes care of itself. I've always felt that way.
Well, I think when the core values are right, then everything radiates outward and affects all those people around you. And again, this is one of the reasons why we highly respect your business model and your philosophy. And what kind of things do you do to stay relevant in the industry? It's an ever-changing industry. Mm-hmm. Lots of newbies come on the board. And, you know, a lot of them, as you said, we've seen a lot of folks who are chefs, but they don't actually know how to run a business.
Well, you have to stay current. You have to, you know, pay attention. You know, I talk about in the book with my dad, when I was a kid, wherever we went, he'd always say, see what's going on over there? Pay attention. And so, you know, obviously today it's a lot easier with the internet. You know, back in the day, I used to have to go travel to Chicago and go to 10 restaurants. You know, and that's how I learned. I would go, I travel all over the country. I've been all over Europe. So I'm a big traveler. But today, you know, with the internet, you know, and reading and books and you have to, and TV, obviously the Food Network, there's a lot of shows on. And, you know, I'm up sometimes 3, 4 o'clock in the morning, you know, being current of what's going on, reading the paper. You know, I'm amazed how many people don't read the paper. They don't know what's going on. You know, I'll mention something about overseas, and they look at me like I have three heads. I'm like, well, you know, how do you not know this stuff? So
they're too busy playing video games.
Being an entrepreneur, being a restaurant guy, you're in the public. You have to know what's going on. It's embarrassing. You go to a table, something comes up in conversation, you know what's going on. You know, so that's a lot of work, you know, to constantly be paying attention. But that's kind of how I grew up, you know.
Well, I'm going to mention something here while we're on the subject of paying attention. Davio's Atlanta is featured as our restaurant review in our current issue, our November-December issue, and it was so much fun to do this piece. I'm always the last person to know what we're doing, so when I was told we were reviewing Davio's, I was so excited, and I was asked if I wanted to be one of the guests with our food reviewer, Wendell Brock, and I said, gee, I'm not sure, because if I walk in the door, they'll know who I am, but they won't realize who Wendell is, so this will be a fun opportunity. And apparently he dined on a Sunday night, and then I came in for lunch with him the next day. I didn't realize it was back-to-back, and we couldn't even tell you folks until after it happened. And when the review came out, we were absolutely excited because everything was standout. Wendell could not say enough wonderful things about the service, the food, and it's hard to do it right, you know, 2 days in a row and have that same experience.
Now, you sound like my wife.
Yeah. Oh. Yes.
Wow. Yeah. Well, you know, I really appreciate you doing that. It's, you know, it's remarkable that we did get it right. I mean, it's pretty awesome.
Remarkable. No, it was well earned, and we were really excited to do it. Wendell absolutely loved it. What do you love most about your business?
I love the people. You know, I am a people person, you know, and I love that every day, you know, yesterday I was in 3 states. I was in Boston, I go to New York, and then I came here. You know, it is a box of chocolates for me every day. I never know what I'm going to get, you know, and that's what's so fun about what I do, you know, and I... but I'm still very involved in the restaurants. I'm in them, you know, because I don't have an office. You know, you might think, gee, Steve, how do you have 7 restaurants? I also have a food company that we're in 3,000 stores around the country, right? You know that.
We've seen your product.
Yeah, we're all over the place. So I'm obviously very busy. The book tour. I do a lot of public speaking. I go into companies and do talks and stuff. But I don't have an office. You say, how do you not have an office? I say, well, my office is the restaurant. You know, and I always laugh at people in my business that go to, what did they do at the office? I don't understand. Seriously. You know, so I always tell my friends, you know, get rid of the office and get into your restaurants. Because, you know, when I meet with my accountants, or you know, obviously we have a place where all that stuff's done. They come and meet with me in the restaurant. I have never been to my accountant's office. I don't even know where it is. It's some, I don't care where it is. You know, with my smartphone, I can get all the numbers. I can tell you right now what each restaurant's doing right to this minute. I can go right into servers' checks and see what's going on. Today with technology, you don't need an office, you know. And one time I'm working the door at the restaurant and it's about an hour wait. A guy comes up to the door with his girlfriend and I tell him it's an hour wait. And he says to me, well, I'm really good friends with Steve. By the way, the listeners, I'm Steve, okay, if you don't know who he's talking about. So I said, really, you know, Steve? He goes, yeah, I'm really good friends with him. Can you help me out? I said, sir, why don't you go to the bar? Let me see what I can do. So I look down at the thing. I go, did this guy just say he's my friend? I have no idea who this guy is. So after about 20 minutes, I decide something changes. You know, we're a big restaurant. I get him in. I go to the bar. I said, sir, I have your table. He looks at the girl like, see, you know, I'm somebody, right? So I bring him over to the table. I sit him down. And he looks up at me and with the finger. And he goes, you know what I'm going to do for you? I said, no, sir, what are you going to do for me? He goes, I'm going to call Steve tomorrow. And I'm going to tell him what a great job you did. I said, wow, that would be so great. I really would appreciate that. And I walk away from the table. And by the way, no one ever called me the next day. But the reason I tell this story in the book is because I want my people to leave the ego on the street. Because it wouldn't have been so much fun to just say to this guy, hey, listen, you jerk, I am Steve, right? But what good would that have done, mm-hmm. right? He would have had a lousy time. He would have never seen him again. Not that I've ever seen him again, ever, anyway, but you never
That's
know.
That's because you have seven restaurants
yeah,
to visit.
Yeah, you never know. I'm sure he goes there, but your staff, you know, your team watches you. You know, we're in a fishbowl as owners and entrepreneurs. You have to think about how everyone else watches what you do, you know, and that really showed everyone that, you know, I don't have an ego, and I don't, you know, it's not about me. It's about the guests, right? It's about Davio's. It's about them coming back tomorrow. You know, why am I still here after 30 years? Why?
Because well, we know why.
We take care of the guests.
You take
That's
care
why.
Of your own, absolutely. Right. So. Well, those are all great motivational tools and knowing what you love about the business. It is all about the people that you work with and for. Mm-hmm. And I've heard you once say that you feel like you've never gone to work since you...
Right, well, I feel like I'm just getting started. Because yeah. people keep saying to me, Steve, aren't you burning out? Don't you want to get out of this thing? You know, what's your out? What's your, my out? My out's a coffin. That's my out. I'm sorry. You know, they're going to take me out of here in a box. You know, that's my out. I don't really, you know... I don't think about that.
That's because you're passionate about what you do, and that is obviously the main drive of any passionate and successful entrepreneur as well. And the other two folks that are in studio with us will definitely agree with us on that. And before we go to Sharon, I want you to tell our listeners, first of all, what are the restaurants? Tell us where all the restaurants are.
Mm-hmm. Okay, well, we have Davio's right here in Buckhead, right at Phipps Plaza, right across from the Ritz-Carlton. It's right below the cinema and below that... Discovery place?
Yeah, Legoland.
Legoland, yeah. yeah, Legoland.
Your kids are too old for that,
yeah,
right?
You know, it's funny. I missed it. I missed the Legoland because I have my older, you know, I have four kids and, yeah, it's too bad. And then we have the original one is Davio's in Boston, right in Back Bay. And then we're in Lynnfield, Mass., which is the North Shore, and then Chestnut Hill, and then Foxborough. So there's four actually in Massachusetts. And then we're in Philadelphia, right in Midtown Philly, right downtown, right a couple blocks from Rittenhouse Square. And then the newest one is in New York City now. We're on Lexington Ave, right across from Grand Central, between 44 and 45. It's doing fantastic.
I can't wait to visit that one. I have cousins who literally live up the street from you, and I was with them for Thanksgiving and told them they have to come there for dinner. I said, better yet, I'll come and join you.
Yeah, you know, it's kind of like Back to the Future. It's smaller. It's kind of like the original Davio's on Newbury Street where I first started, you know, because obviously, you know, rent in Manhattan, it's kind of crazy. So it's a smaller one. We have a little function room, but it's fantastic. It's been doing really well.
Well, can't wait to come to that one. Can you tell us if there's anything new coming up for 2015?
We have some new
Are
products.
Are you allowed to tell?
Well, we have some new products. I've not signed. I have two deals I'm working on. I have not signed the deal, so I'd really rather not. It's just bad luck to mention anything until that
for
lease
sure.
is signed.
But that's why we don't tell any of our secrets either.
Yeah, there'll be some.
We don't
be a
like to
things.
Get scooped. We like to be the scoopers.
Yeah. Well, I think
a good joke.
That was a lead-in right there for him.
Exactly. Yesterday we were telling jokes about mugshots. We were discussing with Sarah Hanna.
Awesome.
So, okay, so now tell our listeners how can they connect with you on social media?
Well, I'm on Twitter. I'm at Steve DiFilippo. You know, I love Twitter. You know, it's funny, Ani, who does our marketing and PR, she for years said, Steve, you got to get on Twitter. I said, why do I? You know, I already text, right? I have a phone. Why do I need to do? Who cares about what I have to say, you know? So restaurants always were on Twitter for years, you know. So last year when the book came out, the publisher said, Steve, you got to be on Twitter. Right? So I said, all right. So I went on Twitter. And I got to tell you, I love the thing. I think Twitter is the greatest. It's amazing. Like when I was in Spain during the Boston bombings last year, I learned from Twitter before anything else. I'm sitting there at dinner, you know, it was about 9 o'clock, you know, 3 o'clock here. And you get so much information off of Twitter. Mm-hmm. Never mind, it's fun. People actually tweet me and everything. So I really enjoyed that. And then, of course, I'm steve@davios.com, so you know you can do the traditional email email way. So.
And as Steve mentioned, his office is his cell phone, so that is the best way to reach him. When people ask me where is my office, I say she's parked outside your establishment. Because I, too, am mobile in my business, and we love the face-to-face interaction, so we're always out and about and on the road.
Joanne, if they don't see your face in their businesses, then I don't know who you are.
That's right.
If you're staying in your office, it's a big mistake.
That's right. We're not absentee business owners here,
right,
for sure.
Right. You know, we all have to be out there. You know, we're all in service businesses today. right? I mean, you
absolutely
have to.
Absolutely. Steve, thank you much. I really appreciate you being in the studio with us today. And again, I encourage anybody to go out and get the book. It's all about the guest. It's fun. It's funny. It reads just so easy to read because you can all relate to it. Anybody who's ever been in business or started a business or wanted to start a business, I should say, there's a lot of great advice in there.
And you
so
actually
you.
Asked me not to talk about the sexual stuff today, right?
Oh.
The family show.
No, no.
So that, there is some of that in there too. You know,
we're not FCC regulated, but there are a couple of funny stories in there. I'm telling you, it's worth the price just to have those
just
stories.
So you know, we don't do that stuff anymore. That was back in the old days, you know, before we had an HR department.
Yes, yes. Believe me, I remember going through those training sessions. Yes. Well, on to Sharon Fisher. Sharon, so happy to have you with us today, and we're very excited about our upcoming event, which will sort of leak a little bit here. We have a date set of January 29th. Details will obviously follow in January as we get closer to the date. The first event we did, we had over 500 people, and we're definitely expecting a lot more than that. We'll be inviting a lot of our businesses and clients and folks that we know that we love to work with to be a part of this event. And very, very excited to have met you earlier this year to be able to work with you. And
thank you.
You're welcome. And I'd love to hear, first of all, because I don't know much about what your past was prior to getting into event planning. Were you in the corporate world? A lot of us sort of have that story of working for other people. And
well, actually, I traveled somewhat, and I was in the import business. I had a very successful import business, traveling mainly to Mexico, South America, doing that kind of route. A little bit in getting involved with, I was supplying mail order companies with different items, and it was kind of in the day before QVC, so it was a little bit, you know, on the edge at that point. And then I went into what I consider a little bit interesting and ahead of its time was I had an indoor pistol range and gun shop here.
Wow.
In, yeah, I know exactly. Oh, everybody went. And
she's
what
packing.
Happened was,
I know you're packing today. There.
What happened was I had actually gone to learn how to use a gun for whatever reason. And at the time, it wasn't really like acceptable. And there was a security guard at Phipps Plaza that would train you, and there was like this indoor kind of shady pistol range that was in off of Jimmy Carter Boulevard. And it was like my husband and I, we were coming off of this import business a little bit, and I had just had my child, so you know I couldn't really travel as much as I had. And so I went and I learned and I started looking into it, and next thing you know, I saw in Florida they had these unusual, well, you know, stocked pistol ranges. And so we looked into it, and next thing you know, we're in business. And we were in Cobb County because you couldn't discharge a weapon. I mean, there was all of that. So we had that indoor pistol range for several years. And in the course of that, which was kind of an interesting segue into anything, it was still rather new, in even for Georgia. And I always helped friends of mine in the, you know, just doing events and whatever. And next thing you know, we had some EPA problems with just the, you know, the building itself. And my husband had a heart attack, and I just decided to start this business of, you know, planning. And there it was.
Well, I can honestly say that I've never met somebody who actually owned a pistol range. Yes. So this is very exciting.
Right.
And before we go more into the events piece of it, what was the bulk of your people who came to learn to shoot? Was it women or men, equal,
well,
both?
Well, what I created was a women in handguns. Actually, I think in the day it was like 2020 did something very, very innovative. We had a lot of men, obviously. We had a lot of women that wanted to protect themselves. We actually had Mick Jagger, who was filming a movie here then. This is way before this town was movie friendly.
Oh, yes.
And
it's about
he
to get
was
more
in,
so.
I want to say it was, I forget the name of the movie, but that he had to learn how to use a weapon. And we would have security guards and people like that. So it was really kind of, you know, on the edge. It was, yeah, there was a lot of women that wanted to protect themselves. Not only that, we did a couple of classes for kids. When I say kids, I'm talking about like Boy Scouts, stuff like that, just to learn how to manage guns and
safety.
Big gun safety thing. I used to go down to, you know, courthouse and just see what laws they had. And at the time, they were just getting ready to create some laws. And I think it was Kennesaw was the first county that said you had to carry a gun or something crazy like that. And wow. It was pretty crazy then.
I bet it was. So on to a more serene business of party planning, which
I don't think that's
serene at all.
It's not the same serene.
Yeah, I'm definitely going to ask you a question about bridezillas in here. But how long have you actually been doing events?
Actually 25 years.
Wow. So, well, and again, that's a very long time. And of course, your network goes far and wide and deep when you're that long in the business. So what kind of clients come to you and what kinds of events do you plan?
Well, how I started was more in social. So I do get a lot of bar bat mitzvahs. I get a lot of that age group. I get obviously a lot of brides, 50th birthday parties, anniversaries, anything that was related social. And through that, I've built my corporate. But it's really was based mainly on social. And right now, it seems to be whatever is connected in any way. You know,
well, I think as the years go on, you probably get exposed to more people that does lead to other things. Right. And
well, I do a bar mitzvah client and then I'll do their wedding. So that's so good.
Their family grows with you.
Absolutely.
So let's talk about bridezillas. Is that really a real thing in
absolutely,
party planning?
100%.
And how do you deal with those folks?
Well, this is the whole thing about party
I was such
thing.
An easy bride. Yeah. I don't know.
Well, but you never know what you are.
Easy?
Joanne,
what do you say?
Oh, my.
Well, easy.
I made it very easy for the party planner and
so
for the venue.
Sometimes that's what you perceive as being easy maybe is like a little specific, but I really think it's not just the bride. It's sometimes the mother and the mother of the bride and the mother of the groom and somebody. So I think part of my personality is that I understand that like there's a bride, there's a mother, there's a maybe a high maintenance floral person or something. Somebody has to be even. Somebody's going to keep some kind of sense about everybody.
Did you take psychology?
No, but I should have.
You could probably teach it at this point.
I probably am like 100% that in a lot of ways.
Well, and what constitutes somebody needing your services? I know a lot of brides, I should say, go about trying to plan everything on their own, but you know, things tend to go a lot smoother if somebody else is managing the process so that you can actually enjoy what happens at the end. So
that's the whole thing. It's not only just enjoying the end, enjoying the day. It's the process. It's I not only bring to the table what I consider an evenness, but also I have relationships with all the vendors. And that makes it a lot easier because, you know, sometimes people do get a little bit carried away and somebody's got to say, all right, you know, pull back or, you know, or maybe this particular client, I need extra handholding from the XYZ vendor. So I really feel like just what you say is like it's a combination of all of that. And I think that what people need is, I'm doing this every day 24/7, but this might be the only wedding or the only event you've planned in X number of years. So, you know, if you want to sit and do the research, it's still not going to be what I know from doing it day to day. So I also tend to do just what I do. I'm not trying to cook the food. I'm not trying to do the decor. I'm not trying to
Steve would be
do
mad.
All that. Right, right. Well, exactly. I mean, I'm very client-based, obviously, but I'm also very vendor-based. And I understand stepping on people's toes. That's just the way I operate. And I think that's important, too. Because, you know, sometimes a conflict of interest, you just never know.
And typically, does somebody come to you with, is it best if they come to you with a budget and then you work within that budget with the vendors and you can say to that person you're not being realistic or?
Absolutely, 100%. I mean, some people just don't understand what the budget is. And when they ask me what it is, it's kind of hard because, you know, your food is what your big number is. It's your number. It's what your big number is. It's like, you know, if you want to spend X number of dollars and you have 500 people, you know, what are we serving them? Peanuts, you know, and pretzels. I mean, you know, and bottles of water, even if that. So, yes, I mean, that is a big part of it.
So all aspects of the party planning are under your auspices when you agree to do an event.
Absolutely.
Okay. And I know you must have some wonderful preferred vendors since you work in the Buckhead area very regularly. How about the locations? it seems that there's always a lot of locations that are not the typically well-known and well-advertised locations. Right. Sometimes there's some unique places, and how do you find those?
Well, for me, I think I've always prided myself, and I'm like the queen of the hard hat tour. Like, I really, like, when I hear something, I go, I make the phone call, and I go look at it. Right before, like, I like to call it, like, you know, the pre-construction discount, because sometimes I have an event that's a year and a half or 2 years out, and you know, I want to know what's going on, so they're happy to accommodate me. So I think that I'm specifically looking for things. Also, sometimes when you're short-term and somebody needs something, you know, you kind of like get lucky and say, oh, well, that space is vacant, and maybe they'd like to make a few bucks on renting it out to me in 2 months, whatever.
Well, I'm priding myself here on the fact that we actually met Sharon in September. So giving her 4 months to plan our event is a big deal for us, because the last time we did it, we had 6 weeks and I did most of the work myself.
Right.
So this is a lot nicer process to be involved in, and allowing ourselves to trust an expert has been a very positive experience. And when you are talking to your clients and talking about these locations, are there locations specifically that are better for a bride or better for a social or corporate event?
Well, again, I think that what I read well is the client. Sometimes it's really has to do with the location. It's like a destination. Like if you're doing a full wedding weekend and you're at one of the Buckhead hotels, you know that you can walk across the street and do a Friday night dinner, or, you know, you're close by to everything. That is very helpful to certain brides. It's also the location of if you're doing a bar bat mitzvah, where maybe their temple is, or, you know, where they go to school or what area town they live in. The thing about Buckhead is that we are very close to everything. So it's easy to get, you know, to do several different things for one event, which makes it interesting. It's not like I'm just in one place. Like I'm just at this hotel. I could do a brunch across the street, or I could do a Friday night dinner. I think that that's really each venue has to do with the personality and also the budget of the client.
So how about some of the new venues that we know are coming to fruition? Are we allowed to talk about them? Are you allowed to say who some of those folks might be?
We're not allowed to tell you specifically, although one you do know is the where the old Maize and Muir space was, this really cool new distillery, which is coming, and that'll be very cool. Art galleries are very popular. Mm-hmm. Warehouse space is very popular right now for that. But having said that, ballrooms can be transformed into anything. So, you know, sometimes people have to understand that it's what the end product is anyway. It's sometimes there's value in that. But I think that what a lot of the, like, for instance, restaurants, they're starting to understand that they need to have event space, because people want to either do a buyout or they want a specific room. And this is social. Now, when it comes to corporate, I think what Steve does is great, because, like, you can have lunches all day, every day, you know, for this office party or this meeting or whatever, and it's great. You know, it's great to know to keep everybody confined in an area like that.
Yes, we've actually done staff meetings at Davio's, too, in the back room.
Right.
So that leads us into corporate events. And I know there must be trends and changes that happen annually in the business.
Well, it's so funny, but corporate event, depending on the time of year, or depending on what they want. I'm not talking about like your basic meeting where it's about, you know, speakers, whatever. That's, you know, goes with the territory. It's like, what are they doing for their dinners, or what are they doing to entertain people that might be here from out of town? I think basically you're not reinventing the wheel. There's always food, liquor to be served, and some sort of entertainment. So sometimes to find a place that's a little different, like a bowling alley that's also a bar, something like that. That, you know, that's become very good for corporate as
there's
well.
There's a few of those in our area at this point.
And there's one, And but sometimes people will go wherever to race cars or something. It's really going to be a matter of what makes us show off Atlanta a little bit when it comes to corporate, but also it's the people that are here. It's like to see something different that they wouldn't normally go to.
Well, I'm going to make one tip for you only because we've had this happen to us this year several times. If your brides are ever looking in Buckhead to have something that tells them what to do, you need to ask us for some magazines.
Absolutely.
Because we've had them putting
100%.
Them in their goodie bags just so that their guests know where to go and
100%.
What to do.
100%. That we already.
Then they read about Davio's.
Right.
They see, you know, all the other services in the area. And I'm going to say this in a precursor to Mark's interview, a lot of people travel with pets.
Yes.
We see this a lot when we travel, and small dogs are allowed in hotels, and I'm guessing that Mark probably would be having some
service
of that.
Well, what I think is that what they should do is, because a lot of these brides in particular do like websites, links in, and I think they should link into the magazine, and then they can see what's out there. Oh, this is where the hotel is, this is what's near there, and get those questions answered, because we do things like not just the transportation, but I have to find beauty salons and hair and makeup people and all of that. I mean, it's everything, whatever they need, a golf tournament, whatever might be needed. You know, it's the same as any other weekend. It's, you know, corporate or social. It involves everything.
So for 2015, anything exciting in your plans? I know that this is a full force business for you, and we're going to probably be sending your business to a lot of other folks and doing several events with you, I think, in 2015 ourselves. Anything else we should know about?
Well, for me, I've really morphed into doing some of the openings of some of these facilities around here and working via some other people, some caterers and whatnot. So it's kind of a project. So that's exciting for me. That's a little different. And of course, it's just to hopefully new space opens up all the time and we can just plug people into it.
I think that staying ahead of the curve and knowing what the trends are and being on the lookout for them and knowing how to discover those things is a big key for your business, because it sets you apart and it puts you ahead of others. And as I always like to say, we like to be the scoopers.
Right.
So we always want to be first, the pioneers, the trendsetters, and everyone else wants to copy us afterwards. And it's flattering. And and that is definitely the key to any good business.
But sometimes things do come full circle. Mm-hmm. And what was popular a couple years ago and it's like backed off all of a sudden can come back again, just because there's only so much out there.
Yep, I never throw away any of those animal print things because they
keep
coming in and out.
Oh, no, right, they keep coming back.
Yes,
for sure.
Yes, love
for
the animal print. My husband tells me I'm not allowed to buy any more of it.
Right.
Sharon, how can our listeners find you, reach you, connect with you on social media?
Well, I'm the same as you and with Steve. Like, I work out of my car, basically. But my cell phone, I have a website, Sharon Fisher Events. They can email me at sharon@sharonfisherevents.com. I tend to put Sharon Fisher Events on my Facebook because I like to put pictures of certain events out there. And I think that Pinterest is such a big part of it. So people see what some of the decorators are doing and what we're doing, and just to, you know, to get a feel for that. And that's really real time more than, you know, some of the websites.
Okay. What about Twitter? Do you use Twitter?
Yes. Well, I'm not as proficient, but S Fisher Events. I'll get there. Takes me a little time.
Absolutely. Well, thank you, Sharon. We're looking forward to seeing how our party comes out.
It's going to be fabulous.
Pretty excited. We had a fabulous event last time, and I will try not to be having a surgery again this year. Well, our final guest today is Mark Shaver, and as mentioned, he is the owner of Buckhead Paws, with daily dog walks and pet services throughout Buckhead, Brookhaven, and North Atlanta. And he's been working in this area for the past 7 years, but before he started working with furry clients, Mark had a long corporate career. And I've never heard him speak about this, so Mark, I would love for you to tell our listeners about that career. It is very diverse and really interesting, and I would have had no idea what you did prior to this.
Hey, Joanne, thanks. Good to see you.
Good to see you,
it's
too.
It's always fun. I really enjoyed hearing Steve's story, where Steve started talking about working in the bar and basically working his way up, and that was sort of my story, too. My studies in college were in speech communication and theater, so I may not always know what I'm talking about, but I can say it pretty well. I taught high school speech, drama, and English for a couple years after college, and I knew that wasn't my life's calling. So I took a job driving a Coca-Cola route truck in central Nebraska. And I was the guy you see in the grocery store putting the Cokes up on the grocery store shelves.
Is that where you're from?
No, I was born in Ohio and grew up in West Texas.
Wow.
So,
he's got the Midwest conquered.
And I drove that Coke truck for about a year and then got promoted to a supervisor and then to a sales manager and then to the head of sales and marketing. And 12 or 13 years later, I was running the Coca-Cola bottling plant in Amarillo, Texas, as, you know, general manager. Now, I have never had a business course in my life, haven't taken economics, haven't taken accounting or finance or marketing or any of that stuff. And when I took over as general manager of the plant in Amarillo, I had the kind of hands-on experience we heard Steve talking about, but I didn't know how to read an income statement or a balance sheet, so I had to learn on the job. And then in 1989, I had a call from the Human Resources Department at a place called the Coca-Cola Company, a little outfit here in Atlanta. And they had heard about me. I was working at the bottling plant in Amarillo, Texas. And they were looking for people who had bottling experience to go work overseas. And so that started a 15-year career working mainly with Coke, but also with others. Coke sent me to Seoul, Korea, and we were there in Seoul for 3.5 years. And then Coke said, hey, we got good news, we got bad news. The good news is we want to promote you into general management so that you can be running a business unit. But the business unit was based in Lahore, Pakistan.
Wow.
And Lahore is the second largest city in Pakistan. But it was a regional office, and I was responsible for the Coke business in Pakistan, Bangladesh, Nepal, Sri Lanka, and the Maldives Islands. And my boss...
You only skipped India in there.
Well, it was the countries around
exactly.
India. That's exactly right, yeah. My boss was in Bangkok, and we did a JV with the bottler in Singapore, and we holidayed in Dubai and India. Some amazing travel opportunities. And then Coke transferred me to Moscow, Russia, and my job there was as the president and general manager of the Coca-Cola Bottling Company of Moscow, your friendly hometown Coca-Cola bottler.
Wow.
I left Coke and stayed in Russia, ran the Baskin-Robbins business for a while, and my last corporate job then was running the R.J. Reynolds tobacco business for all of Russia. It was a great job. We had offices in 22 cities across the country, so I traveled Russia extensively. Overnight trains and airplanes with geese and chicken. And
oh, is that where the love of the pet thing started?
Yeah, that's
the
where the
geese
pet
and
thing
the chickens.
Started. Yeah, that's exactly it. And I came to Atlanta. That came to an end in 04, and I came here and sort of semi-retired and was just mousing around trying different things. But that was the corporate career.
So how did that lead you into four-legged clients?
I didn't actually start Buckhead Paws. It was started by a young woman who was 25 at the time. She leased a private apartment out in Brookhaven, and the landlord discounted her rent in exchange for taking care of his dog. And that guy had a dog who needed some help, and that guy had a dog who needed some help, and pretty soon she had a small little business. Well, in 2009, she was now married and was moving out to Marietta for her husband's job. And she and her husband were having dinner one night with friends. And she said, oh, woe is me. I have this little sideline business, and I'm going to have to close it down because I'm moving out to Marietta. Well, the friends they were having dinner with were friends of mine. And they said, hey, we know this guy. He's kind of semi-retired. He's got gray hair. He likes kids and critters. Maybe he can help you out.
Do you walk the kids, too?
No, absolutely not. The critters are a whole lot easier.
I'm sure they are. And, you know, they're always happy to see you. They don't talk back.
That's right.
Do you have pets of your own?
I have one at the moment. She's a cat that I got when I was living in Russia. I paid the exorbitant sum of 50 rubles for her, which was about $1.65.
Wow.
Bought her from one of these quintessential little Russian babushkas who's 5 feet tall and 5 feet wide and wears the scarf under her head. And she had a shoebox with these four little cats. And so I bought Gigi in Moscow. But when I was living in Moscow, we had a menagerie. We had four cats, three dogs, two chinchillas, and a pet rat.
Wow, that's a pet rat?
A pet rat, yeah.
Oh, boy.
He was my son's.
I hope Steve hasn't met any of those in New York City. Because they have a pretty big problem, although I just read recently that Atlanta has its own little problem with that. So I know they're trying to cope with that. So how do you keep a rat as a pet?
Like in an aquarium with sawdust. And you know, I got to admit, when we first got the rat, I was not a fan. But it was, he actually turned out to be pretty cool. He would interact with, anyway.
So all those
in America, we had gerbils.
Yeah, that's right.
In Russia, it's rats.
Hamsters. Yeah. Well, so we know about your pets. What kind of services do you provide or not provide?
Great question. Like Sharon and Steve, I don't have an office. We don't have a retail storefront.
That's
location.
Our common theme, yes. All of us. So
I tell people my office is the front seat of my car because that's where everything's stacked up, right?
Me too.
So,
the pets are all stacked up on top of each other.
not quite. In terms of what services we don't provide, then we don't do boarding. So you can't bring your pets to us and do boarding. The services we do provide, we go to clients' homes. And do whatever sort of pet care needs they do. Our most popular service is a 20-minute midday potty break. And it's exactly what it sounds like. You know, mom and dad are working, or the young singles are working, can't get home during the day to take care of Fluffy. We'll come by sometime during the day, a 20-minute walk, put a leash on them, take them out, make sure bathroom needs are met. But my team and I are firm believers that, you know, bathroom needs are important, but what's really important is the human interaction and the affection mm-hmm. and the playtime and, you know, that sort of activity for the pets. So that's the most popular service.
I would hope my children would like that too.
Yeah.
The interaction, well, the yes. playtime, at least that's what we're trying to encourage.
As long as we can put a leash on them, we
right.
can talk about
oh,
it.
Oh, leash thing would work.
Man, that's a dangerous question.
So we also provide in-home overnight pet sitting. A lot of folks, when they travel, a lot of them want to take them to the boarding places, and that's great. But a lot of folks don't want to. Maybe their pets are older or younger. And they would really like to have the security and peace of mind of knowing that someone they can trust is staying in the home. And so that's one of the services.
So you have someone that can actually come in and stay in the home, too.
Yeah, I have a team of 14
wow.
dog walkers and pet sitters, and not all of them, but a number of them are willing to stay in the client's home.
Wow, that's fantastic. Yeah. I didn't realize you had yeah. that many folks working with you. That's terrific. Well, why should a pet owner use a professional service rather than asking a neighbor or a teenager that they know?
Exactly. Now, we're going to cost a little more, but you're going to get more for it. It's so easy to ask your brother-in-law or the neighbor or the college student or whatever. But the difference is, this is what we do for a living. You know, we take care of your pets, and that's our business. It's our, like Gerber's baby food, it's our only business.
Mm-hmm.
The college kid or the high school kid down the street or the brother-in-law, you know, they may get wrapped up watching the football game on TV and forget to go visit Fluffy.
Or text and, you know,
yeah.
video games
yeah.
and right. forget their obligations.
And we're not going to forget to do it. There's another reason, and that is that we are bonded and insured. And the brother-in-law
That's
and the college student are not. And it's a big one. And let me tell you a story. I'm really proud of this story because I think it's a great metaphor for how we do our business. It was August, and one of my dog walkers, Tasha, went to go walk Boomer. And she and Boomer were out in the backyard chasing the tennis ball and playing. And after a minute, Boomer dropped the tennis ball and went over to the ivy, used the bathroom, and he gave a little yelp. And he came walking out of the ivy, limping, walking on three legs. Tasha worked as a vet tech for a number of years, so she's pretty smart, and she looked at his paw, couldn't see anything, and she thought maybe he'd gotten a stone bruise. So she finished up, took him back inside the house, called me and said, Boomer might have hurt himself, but I don't know. She goes to see another client, and on her own, she took the initiative to go back to the house after that client and check on Boomer. And in that 30 minutes or so, his paw had started swelling up, and he was licking at it and licking at it and was seeming agitated. So she called me and explained this to me. And I said, go ahead and take him to the vet, because we had a vet release form signed by the clients. And I got on the phone and called the two owners, the mom and the dad, and said, Tasha's taking Boomer to the vet. Something doesn't look right. They went to meet her there. The vet had to shave his paw, found out he'd been bitten by a copperhead
Ooh,
twice.
Wow.
Two sets of fang bites. Boomer lived. He survived. He was there 3 days. They did the antivenom and all that. The other part of the story is, because we are bonded and insured, I submitted a claim to my pet insurance company, and the $1,100 bill was covered by them,
wow.
not by the client and not by me. Now, can you imagine if your brother-in-law or the high school kid down the street mm-hmm. had done that? Probably, when the high school kid down the street came back for the next visit, Boomer would have been sitting in the house, and he wouldn't have
right,
been
he wouldn't yeah. have been moving.
Yeah,
yeah that's wow. that's so a huge difference. I've never heard it quite told like that. That's definitely a reason for hiring a professional. And I know there are some other pet sitting companies around town, and we know that you stand out among the crowd, especially here in Buckhead. And are there things that you can say that you know are the reasons why?
I think so. And, you know, we have our Pet Sitters Association, so I'm friends with a lot of the people who also own pet sitting businesses. Some of them are bigger, some of them are smaller. But I think one of the things that really makes us unique is the client relationships we built. You know, again, we heard Steve talking about, I made my notes here, let me check them. Steve talking about, it's about giving yourself, and they've got to see your face. That's something you said. The clients have got to see your face. We take pride in the depth of the personal relationships we have with our clients. When we pick up a new client, I'll take the dog walker, and the walker and I will always go together to meet that client face-to-face, because the walker is the one who's going to have the day-to-day interaction with the client, but I want them to see who's sending the invoices. I want them to know who they can call if they really have a serious issue. So that's one thing. In real practical terms, we have a very liberal cancellation policy. Most of the other firms around town, if you're going to cancel a visit, they need a 24-hour notice, or they're going to charge you a cancellation fee. My team is running all over Buckhead and Brookhaven, and we have a route. We go to see Fluffy, and then we go to see Fifi, and then we go to see Fido, and then we go to, you know. And so our cancellation policy is, look, as long as you catch us before we pull into your driveway, we're not going to charge you a cancellation fee, because we'll just skip you and we'll go on to the next client.
Right.
And I've been amazed at how many friends that has won us.
I'm sure it has. It's a lot of what we do as well. It's all about flexibility and working with people and their needs and trying to accommodate so that they respect what you do and they stay on long term as a client and they keep coming back.
Exactly.
And that's what customer service is definitely all about.
Not about today. It's about tomorrow.
Yeah.
Amen.
Yes, totally. Absolutely.
You know, and just an observation. I really enjoyed hearing Sharon and Steve speak, because the three of us, our businesses are radically different. The sizes of our business are radically different. And yet, so much of what we do is very much the same. They've both talked about the emphasis on the client. They've both talked about that service. We've all talked about not having an office, but rather being out there with our clients. And we have, you know, we all have some of the same issues. Managing cash flow, got to pay taxes, got to sit with the accountant. So despite the radical differences in our businesses, there are so many similarities as well.
Well, and that's one of the reasons we do this radio show. It is the only all-pro business show. As you see, there's no commercials, there's no advertising. It's really all about promoting businesses. And personally, we have a very strong affinity for small businesses. We are one mm-hmm. ourselves and have those same challenges and struggles as all of you. And we really like to use this platform to help our clients and our editorial and work with the people that work with us and support us year round. I do have a couple more last questions before we sign off for the day, but with the cold weather coming up, I know we're already in holiday season, but with the cold weather coming up, people traveling, any special tips to offer the listeners, even if they don't have a pet sitter? And do those pets get upset when their parents are gone for a while? Do they get upset
oh my
or
goodness.
Are they just happy?
Is the Pope Catholic? You know? You know, a lot of it depends on the pet. I mean, here we are 2 days before Christmas, so I'll put a plug in, a shameless plug. If you're leaving town for the holidays and you haven't made arrangements yet for your pet, it's not too late. We will be able to accommodate you. So when I give the information a little bit, you know, give me a call and we will find a way to work you in. Hopefully you haven't forgotten about taking care of your pets. In terms of tips, one of the things I really like to mention in the cold weather that people may not think about, especially if your dog is going outside, with the colder weather, the dogs use up a whole lot more calories to stay warm, and they really need more to eat in the wintertime. Now, if your dog is a 9-year-old lab who sits around all day and doesn't go out except to use the bathroom, forget it. But I think with the cold weather, it's really important for people to understand that their dogs are going to need more calories if they're spending time outdoors. In terms of when people travel, you know, leaving your pup at home really can be hard on the dogs. And we make special efforts to let those, you know, to play with them, to give them that interaction, to reassure them that mom and dad are going to be home. We'll take our dog walkers, we'll take photos of the dogs and then text them to the parents so that the
That's
parents
funny.
Will feel more
That's
reassured.
Great. I love
we,
it.
So we've even done things like phone calls, and we'll put the owners on speakerphone. And, hi, Fluffy, it's mommy. And it's funny.
And the ears perk up.
They
when
do.
They hear
it's
the
funny,
voice.
And we sit here and laugh about it, but it makes such a difference. The dogs really appreciate it. So we'll do whatever we need to do to help that dog feel more secure while they're gone.
I keep telling my husband, I wish that dogs could purr like the cats. We know cat loves us, and
absolutely.
She doesn't ever leave us alone, right. But the dogs, they have their head on your lap, but they're not purring.
No.
So it's definitely a different kind of relationship.
My dog licks me. She doesn't lick me.
I have one that licks my nose, and the other one is like slobbering all over my face. So both of them, yes, they love to lick our faces. Yeah. Mark, thank you so much. It was great to have you on. And before we do let you go, how do our readers and listeners find you?
Thanks, Joanne. This has been a ball, and I love talking to the other folks and hearing what they have to say. The company is called Buckhead Paws, P-A-W-S, and that's our website, buckheadpaws.com. My cell phone number is on the website. It's 404-432-1192. We use all the social media. We have a Facebook page. We have a Twitter feed, and we use Instagram, so they can find us on there, too.
At Buckhead Paws.
At Buckhead Paws.
Great. And I am looking forward to working with you in 2015. I've accepted a position on the board for the Buckhead Business Association, and I know you've had a long-standing relationship there.
Yep.
Before we sign out, can you just tell our listeners the position that you hold with the Business Association?
I have been the Vice President of Public Safety for the last 4 years on the board, so I know all of you have slept better at night knowing that I've been looking after you.
Yes.
For public safety. But in that capacity, I've had a ball. I've been the liaison with the three public safety departments, the Atlanta Police Department, the Fire and Rescue Department, and the Fulton County Sheriff's Department. So I've been the liaison, the coordinator with those three groups and the BBA, and I've had a chance to work with those three guys, and they've been wonderful.
Wow. Well, thanks so much, everybody, for a great show. Rich, do you have any quick questions for our guest today?
I've just really enjoyed the show as well. I was on most of y'all's websites checking things out, and it's very impressive, and I've added you guys to our Twitter account, and so I was kind of behind the scenes taking some photos, but yeah. Another great show.
Thank you so much. I really appreciated this show, knowing that we had all small business owners. It was wonderful to have each and every one of you, and we'll see y'all next week.